Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Well, there's one Trump supporter. We have Hancock and Kelly here with us. Let's talk to another. Chuck on line three. Chuck, go ahead.
Hey, I just want to let you know, I listen to you guys all the time, but I almost can't take it, all this Trump bashing that's happening. I'm not even a Trump supporter, but I feel sorry for the guy, how bad you guys are trashing him. He did more for our economy than any Democrat has done in the last 15 years.
Chuck, how am I trashing him?
Everything's negative that you're talking about. You never said one positive thing about him.
You're talking about an
Chuck,
indictment.
Have you read the indictment yet?
No, I haven't.
Well, call me back when you do.
No, can I ask?
Go
ahead.
Go
ahead. Chuck, I'm a Republican.
Okay.
And I liked a lot of the policies that Donald Trump implemented. I liked the deregulation. I liked the tax cuts. I liked the fact that he led us closer towards energy independence. I liked all of those things that Donald Trump did as president. Do you think that those policies would have been and could have been pursued by anybody, any Republican that was elected president? Or do you think that Donald Trump was unique in his ability to deliver those things?
Go ahead, Chuck.
How come you cut me off?
No,
you're there.
Here you are.
Oh, I'm not talking about today only. I'm talking about all the time lately, not just today. It's gotten to the point where me and some of my friends, we just turn the station because you can't take it anymore. You guys just continuously bashing. Chuck, I just think you should show some neutrality.
Chuck, are you okay with what Donald Trump did vis-a-vis January 6th and the Mar-a-Lago documents?
He was by far not a perfect president. I will say that. Okay? He did a lot of things I didn't disagree with. But how can you overlook all the good things he did?
I can tell you how, because it appears he's committed 37 felonies.
You know what? They quit counting on Hillary. Nobody said anything.
Did you use that defense when you got in trouble when you were a kid, when your parents said you are in trouble for this and said, my buddy did something else. Does that make it okay for me? Did that work out for
you? We're comparing presidents, right? Biden and Trump. That's what you've been doing all
right,
morning.
Right. But we were comparing one kid to another kid. Was your defense to your parents, my friend did this, therefore we should be treated the same way, and he didn't get in trouble?
No. This is completely different than a kid conversation like that.
Oh,
this
okay.
is president against president. We're doing errors, right?
Well, Chuck, I promise you, when you call back, I promise you I'll take your call. Read the indictment, because I really want to get your opinions on it. It's 49 pages, pretty interesting reading. It's out there now online. Read the indictment. Call back today, call back next week, whatever you want to do. And I want to see if you feel the same way. Let's talk to Michael in line two. Go ahead, Michael.
Oh, is this me, Michael?
Yep.
Okay, yeah, listen, I just wanted to call in on the show and give you my opinion on the indictment of the former president, Donald Trump. I think I've waited a long time for the justice system, Jack Smith and Merrick Garland, to get this done. And I just believe that no one is above the law. And I believe that the president has to carry around material with him that is important documents, because he has to be on top of it 24 hours a day. But once you leave the office and you sign off that you don't have any documents, and before he leaves, he's got to sign. That's what everybody else has to do. Before you can even leave with documents, you have to sign something that says, I don't have anything. So I'm with nobody is above the law, my point here, but I don't want to get on a rant. But I was a Reagan Democrat, and I voted for Donald Trump the first time. But he turns out he's a charlatan. He wants to be the freaking king. We don't have kings. We have presidents. Nobody is above the law.
Thank you, Michael. Appreciate it. All right, Hancock and Kelly, take it away.
Go ahead, Michael.
There's not much to say. I mean, none of this is surprising. It's just very sad.
And unfortunately, we had a poll that came out this morning that, 40-something percent of Republicans would still vote for Donald Trump, even though he is a felon. And I think this is where
an
we're
alleged,
at. There is
an alleged felon.
And there's just no talking to these folks who are all supportive of Donald Trump, no matter how much evidence you put in front of them. It's always going to be the what if, what other, you know, what about that and what about this, rather than actually holding him accountable to the law.
You know, I always thought that the documents were the biggest problem that he had. And that's why I was kind of chagrined when the New York case was filed, because I do think that case is political that was brought. This is I haven't read the indictment yet. I've gotten sort of the highlights, and Michael's been into it. I was playing snooker. But clearly, these are very serious allegations, the kind of documents. And you know, in the classification of documents, the top secret, beyond top secret, were some of the documents that were disclosed that he had possession of. And the question is, why? Why would you have those documents? And
why fight to turn them over when you had an opportunity to get out of jail free?
Now, and just to bring you guys up to speed, I'm not going to go through and read everything, but to bring you up to speed, the transcript of the video we've heard about is Donald Trump showing some reporters the document that General Milley created.
Yeah, about the Iran.
If you need to attack Iran, here's how you could do it. And he is saying to one of his staffers and the reporters, basically, we can read it to you. You can read it yourself. But
you
basically,
right here.
Shouldn't be doing this. When I was president, I could declassify it. Now I can't. So maybe I shouldn't be doing this. I don't know. Let's look at it. And then they pierced the veil on his attorneys. And so his attorneys have testified, and he was directing them to file false reports. He was directing them to literally pluck out the really bad stuff and take it to your hotel. And then he was in the same time that he was telling the FBI and the DOJ, I have nothing. He was telling his underlings, who have now obviously testified, put him in the shower, put him in the bathroom. Put him in the ballroom.
Yeah, on the stage.
Put him on the stage. And so it's pretty black and white chapter and verse that it wasn't a matter of, oh my gosh, I have documents I shouldn't have. How do I get these back? It was in real time. In fact, there's one conversation with his attorneys where they're saying, okay, we need to give up these documents. And he's saying, what if we just don't? I would rather no one look in these boxes. What if we just don't play ball with them? Direct quote.
Yeah.
What I would way rather just say we don't have any documents.
So that example in and of itself, I mean, you know, folks that are being pursued by justice have to be able to talk freely with their attorneys. And if the attorney's response to that is, no, Mr. Trump, we can't do that. And he says, okay.
And it's totally fine.
Right. That's and I do wonder if there might be the piercing of the privilege of the attorney-client privilege in this case that might be problematic in the pursuit of the litigation. But it seems to me that the preponderance of the evidence here is so overwhelming that when the federal government brings charges in a case like this, which, you know, there aren't many like this, but when they bring charges, they've got the goods. They're not going to bring charges, you know, that might work, might get past a jury. No, they've got the evidence here, and I think we're going
to
see
that. But there doesn't seem to be any evidence of he was going to go out and sell these things. I mean, it's kind of his own self-glorification of himself. He was fighting turning over the documents because he fights everything. And this is what's ultimately going to take him down, is this is truly self-inflicted, because he was given a year and a half to turn over the documents, and he kept fighting it and fighting it. And to what end? Why was he fighting it? I don't think it was because he was sitting down and showing some bad guys some bad things. I think it's just his personality.
But we don't know.
Right.
We don't know the why. But we do know, I think, with relative certainty, because of the fact that Joe Biden and Mike Pence had classified documents. We do know, I think, that had he turned everything over when they were asked for immediately, we wouldn't be here today. And so on that level, You know, this has all been brought on by Donald Trump himself.
We're not going to have time to take every single phone call. Please keep calling. But I want to address Billy's point. Billy says no one is above the law is meaningless. He has 37 felonies because the whole government has been laser focused on trying to destroy this man. My point would be that if I have it out for Wheeler and I get wind that he's doing something wrong and I follow him and I investigate him and I find out I'm right, he's doing something really, really bad, doesn't mean he didn't do it.
Right. That's a whole.
And I'm not saying that people don't go and get a you know what for people, you know, like I'm going to get this guy, I'm going to get this group, I'm going to get you, I'm going to get you. And no one's done that more than Donald Trump, right?
Yeah, as lock far her as up. Like.
But well, it doesn't mean that he didn't do it. And that's the whole point of the law.
Right.
That's the whole process of the point of due process.
Any investigation, you laser focus on the subject of that investigation to see what they've done wrong, if anything. I mean, that's why the government and police, whether it's a St. Louis Police Department or it's the security guard at the mall or it's the Federal Bureau of Investigation, they have a target and they go look at that target and with a laser focus to see if they've broken the law. And that's what's happened here. And so, you know, there's a sense in which the caller is right, but that's the whole purpose of an investigation.
But where's the common sense in this? Even if the people asking the questions and starting investigations have it out for the guy, who are the people that are telling the story? In the January 6th hearings, who were all of the people telling the stories?
His people.
They were his people, his campaign workers, his people in the White House,
everyone,
his staff.
Everyone in this indictment works for him.
His lawyers, his people. I mean, like, the people telling the story are people that were rooting for Donald Trump.
Right.
Am I wrong?
No.
No. No. All right, quick break. Right back with Hancock and Kelly and your phone calls. 314-436-7900. 323 DTS and KMOX. Hancock and Kelly here. And just from a psychological, sociological point of view, I understand defending people. I understand I've defended people who've done bad things. I've had people defend me when I've done bad things. I understand that. I get that. It's part of life. What I don't understand, and I guess it really is sort of a mathematical equation. I mean, I voted for the guy the first time. At some point, and I forget exactly which instance it was,
right. But
at some point, it was a bridge too far for me, and it was no longer worth it. This guy, in my opinion, was an agent of chaos. I agree with, I think his name was Chuck, that called in saying, but look at all of his great policies.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you. There were a lot of the policies like, yeah, this is good for me. I like this. You're being effective. Thank you. But it, to me, is no different than if your CEO is making the stock go up, but he or she is insane and just causing so many problems and such, you know, or your spouse, you know. With every person, there's a point where you go, this is too much. And what I don't understand is what it is about this guy that people will blame literally everyone but him. Look at the people who've been around him. Is there one left who he hasn't thrown under the bus? Is there one left who he hasn't made fun of or called him this or that? Kayleigh McEnany, who had his back all those years, just put a poll up. That was it, like 4 points different than what he thought. And he calls her a loser and she's this and she's that. There are dozens of people who've testified in this indictment, every single one of whom worked for him.
Yeah.
His lawyers, his staffers, his personal valet. Why is it so easy to say that they are all lying, but he's not? I don't understand that. I don't know a single person in my life. I've said this before. I would take a bullet in the brain for both of my kids. But if I were presented with this kind of evidence that Nick had committed these kind of crimes, I'll visit him every day in jail. But I'm not going to say he didn't do it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. There is... there is some kind of wanting that people have, that some people have. It's a deep desire to connect with somebody. And for whatever reason, Donald Trump has made that connection with literally millions of people in this country.
Yeah, about 75 million.
And he is, I don't think it's 75. That's how many votes he got. Yeah. But I don't think all the people that voted for Trump in 2020 are in the category of people I'm describing. But, you know, he fills a need in people's hearts some way. And I don't understand it. I can't explain it. But it's true, and for those folks, and there are millions of them, there's no amount of evidence that's going to change their minds. It's just the way it is.
Even electability, because at the end of the day, even if you like Donald Trump's policies, this is the perfect storm. The Democrats have a real problem on their hands. They have an unpopular president,
yes,
who's aging, a vice president who's not that popular.
Less popular than the president.
Less popular than him. And it really is lined up for any Republican to win, yet the one Republican they're wanting to make sure is a part of this narrative is the one who can't.
Which is why I chuckle over, I don't chuckle, but I, you know, this narrative coming out of the Republicans in Washington that Biden is imprisoning his chief opponent.
Well, you say that he can't, wipe his own lips.
And it's, but, you know.
Good point.
They're making
He's
the charge
smart enough
that,
to pull
that
this.
Biden right. is imprisoning his chief opponent. Well, the reality of it, if you step back and look at politics a little bit, is that there is no other Republican that they would rather run against than Donald Trump. So if Donald Trump is the ticket to reelecting Joe Biden, and perhaps the only ticket to reelecting Joe Biden, then clearly Joe Biden's not going to put him in jail, right? I mean, it's such a nonsensical argument coming out of Washington that, you know, anybody that spends 10 minutes doing political work would know that that could not possibly be true.
Let's go to Denise on line 3. Denise, you have to be pretty quick here, but I want to get you on. Go ahead.
Yeah. Dave, I'm your age, and I grew up in a very Republican household. And when Watergate was going on in the summer of whatever it was, I remember it because every day the Brady Bunch was preempted by it. And my dad loved Nixon. He was a big supporter. But when this all happened, he was out. And he could see that. And he could see that he was a jerk and he did wrong. I think on both sides, people have lost that. They are so clouded by their own agendas and their own thoughts of this loyalty to whoever, whether it be Biden or Trump, they can't see that that's the facts and to move on and to say, hey, I'm not leaving my party, but I'm going to leave this candidate.
And interesting take. The phones are open, 314-436-7900. More with Hancock and Kelly after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
334 DGS, Hancock and Kelly are here. If you're just tuning in, the indictment has been made public, and I'm holding it in my hands, and you can find it online, you can print it out, you can read it. It's 49 pages, it's 37 counts, and it's way worse than I thought it was going to be. And I will say that an indictment is not a conviction, an allegation is not a fact. But as John said very correctly, the feds have like a 99.6% success rate. And it's partially because they're very good, but it's mostly because they don't bring cases they don't know they're going to win.
That's it.
Yeah, they don't miss.
That's right. It's like if the Cardinals played my softball team. That's the way the Feds approach it.
I'd give your softball team a chance right now.
So anyway, I'm not going to read everything again, but it includes things like this video that we've been hearing about that's so damaging to Trump. It gives you the transcript, and it is very damaging. He's admitting that he doesn't have the power to declassify this document he's holding in his hands, which was a military plan to attack Iran. And he's disseminating it to people with zero classifications. In fact, he's disseminating it to reporters. You also have several of his employees, his main person, who's this valet, who's also been charged as a co-conspirator, that they're they are very specifically discussing where to hide the documents. Put them in the shower. Is there room in the bathroom? Then you have his attorneys who are forced to testify against their client because the judge pierced the veil, right. Because you cannot have an attorney-client privilege if a judge believes that there's a possibility that the client was using his or her attorneys to commit a crime. And the attorneys probably have the most damning testimony of all, because it is Donald Trump telling them to commit crimes.
Mm-hmm.
So could it all be made up? It could. Could there be defenses to it? There could be. Could he get a really great jury in Southern Florida? Yes, he could. We've been saying, like, we're at the beginning of the beginning. This would have a very long way to go. But I would just say to all of our listeners who either are mad at me because I'm saying these things or, you know, open to it, just read the indictment. And if you read the indictment, I will double down on what I said earlier in the show. If you read the indictment and you would still vote for Donald Trump, either you have to believe that everyone involved is lying but him and it's all a bunch of BS, or you're okay with it.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure which bothers me more. Hmm. I mean, if you can read this and say, okay, all right, I'll take it. I'll take your word for it. He didn't said all these things. I don't care, because like Chuck was saying, XYZ, he lowered taxes. He did this on the border. You're just a different kind of person than me.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah. You're either okay with it or all these people are lying. And like you said, just like Kevin pointed out earlier on January 6th, these are all his own people. These are the people who signed up for his stuff.
And look at what the documents contained, because that's in the indictment as well. The U.S.'s vulnerabilities to attack, vulnerabilities of our allies to attack. There's a reason why those things are classified, that you don't want them out and about and anybody to see them. I mean, those are some of the most deeply held secrets in the United States for a reason. You don't want China to know what our vulnerabilities for attack are. You don't want anybody to know. So we're not talking about, you know, love letters from Kim Jong-un here. We're talking about the very highest classified documents in possession of the United States of America that he had at a resort in Florida and moved them around from room to room so as to avoid turning them back over to the National Archives. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
So, you know, make no mistake, and you can love Donald Trump, but there's no way to justify this.
Let's go back to the phones, Rach. Let's talk to Jim on line 3. Jim, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to compare it to what Hillary Clinton, when she was wiping the computer and smashing cell phones, having her people smash cell phones, destroying evidence for a crime that they believe she committed. And the people were chanting, throw her in jail, throw her in jail. And now Donald Trump is obviously, they're bringing these charges against him. They have the evidence, but they're not going to be chanting, throw him in jail, throw him in jail. And I also compare it back to when O.J. Simpson, the evidence was stacked against him, or stacked up on him, yeah, about that. And they were happy that he didn't get found guilty. They're not interested in justice. Everybody's interested in their own, what they want. They're not really interested in justice. But I voted for Trump on both elections. There's no way I can vote for him in a primary. It's lost my vote. The evidence is too great against him, and I do want justice, and that's what I demand out of my politicians, to be held to a higher standard and justice.
Thank you, Jim. I think that's a really smart comment, that people want what they want more than they want justice. And we've all been there,
yeah,
on different levels, right? Someone earlier said, I can't read my own writing, that bravado has replaced intelligence. I thought that was really interesting. Let's talk to Alan on line 4, please. Alan, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for having the show.
Yeah.
I was kind of fascinated by your last caller who, expressed his passion for justice and, carried out correctly in the U.S. But then he said he voted for Trump twice. So the first time, okay. But all this stuff going on, all his illegal or legal shenanigans were being put forth. I mean, people were seeing it. There was all this airplay and documentation of stuff he was doing. For goodness sakes, he was impeached twice. But so I'm a little flabbergasted. It's like, what? You saw this stuff going on. You voted for him again, and then you're surprised. But I have to tell you, these legal problems that he has, he brought them on himself. But I don't think this is the real. These aren't the worst things that he's done, really. To me, what he's done is divide the country that already wasn't unified, but I believe that he gave permission to the haters and racists who were maybe not expressing it or even had a thought that, this is not the way to think, maybe, or I shouldn't do it, or I'll be ashamed if someone knows I'm a racist. He gave permission, and when you ask the question, who are these people who still support him, the people who feel grateful to him for making them feel normal, that being a racist or being a hater, and not everybody's at the extremes, but I'm just saying that he took away some of their insecurity about this and made them feel good. So that's why they love him.
Interesting. Thank you, Alan. Dale has an opposing view on line 5. Dale, go ahead.
I don't have an opposing view. I'm wondering, this special prosecutor in the Biden case came out with all this evidence this week and made an announcement that they have proof that Joe and Hunter bribed several different countries of $10 million. They set up several, at least 10, maybe more, LLCs to pass the money back and forth to those companies. And the special prosecutor brought up the point that Trump has businesses. The Bidens do not. The Bidens do not own a business. Do they? They don't run a business, but they have all these LLCs set up to funnel all that money. Now, guess what's not going to be in the news anymore? That's not going to be, because now that Trump's got indicted, that's the only thing that's going to be on the news.
Dale, let me respond, and I'll let these guys respond too, and you can reply. I've never been a big believer in the whole, let's cover this story with this story. I'm probably wrong. I'm probably Pollyannish on that. But as far as the Bidens go, I think something there stinks. I don't know whether Joe was in on it. I don't know if Joe collected a dollar or $5 million. But I will tell you this, and I've been consistent on it. If a special counsel or a grand jury or any sort of investigative body can really prove it. Right. If I see an indictment in front of me similar to this about Joe Biden, burn his ass. Throw him in jail.
Well, and here's,
I don't care.
First of all, there is no special counsel looking into the Bidens. One's not been appointed. There is no special counsel. What there is, though, is the House Oversight Committee, which is controlled by Republicans, my fellow Republicans. James Comer is the chairman of that committee, and they are investigating the Bidens. And let me assure you, caller and other folks out there, that if those folks can prove and demonstrate and provide evidence that the Bidens have committed a crime, they're going to do it. You can trust that James Comer and Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is on that committee, and others, if they can prove that the Bidens have committed a crime, I guarantee you they're going to deliver that proof, and I guarantee you it will be covered in the media. It may not be covered in every media, but it will be covered in the media.
I'm looking at NBC News with that story. It's sitting right here. Like, it's everywhere. It's not that it's gone. And you could also, if you wanted to be skeptical, and I'm not doing this because I don't think it's, I think it's BS, but if you wanted to be skeptical, you could be like, well, they're putting it out there just when they know these indictments are supposed to be coming, because this has been building for weeks, to try to maybe level it off. I don't think that either. I think both of these things are happening concurrently, and we have to look at who's investigating this. As you pointed out, John, are we thinking that those people in Congress, the Republicans in Congress that are doing the investigation into Biden, are they hiding things?
Yeah, right. And Jim Jordan, if he's got proof that the Bidens have committed a crime, I can guarantee you it's going
to
be public.
Hey, Rage, I need to take Jeff's call on line one. Jeff, go right ahead.
Yes, hello. I think that, yeah, the guy is a jerk, okay? We all know this. Did this not start out as a witch hunt with the Russia stuff? Like, how come there hasn't been any backlash concerning that? And that's something I'd like to hear Mr. Hancock reply. Thank you for taking my call.
Let me reply first.
Okay.
I think two things can be true at once. The Russia thing could have been a complete pig in a poke, but that doesn't mean that everything that Donald Trump did after that was also a hoax. And I wanted the caller to stay on there, but he said, why do people believe all these lies? What I want to ask him was, what are the current lies about Donald Trump?
Right.
Because I know that I've gotten away with things I did. Let me back up. I know that I've been accused of things I didn't do, like maybe Donald Trump was with the Russia hoax, but I've done other things.
Well,
I mean, that's just human nature.
The thing to understand about Russia is that you had this report done by a British spy who wrote a report that was based on a lot of hearsay and interviews. And that was turned out to not be credible. I mean, it could have been true, but it wasn't credible. It wasn't evidence. It wasn't fact. Did Russia interfere in the elections in the United States in 2016? The answer to that is yes. Did Paul Manafort share polling data with his Ukrainian pro-Russian counterparts that were his client? Yes. Were documents released that Russia was involved in the release of certain documents involving Tony Podesta, the campaign manager of Hillary Clinton? The answer is yes. So the Russia hoax, what's never been proven is that Donald Trump was manipulating, directing the Russian involvement in our elections. And I will grant you that they never proved that case. But you cannot say that Russia didn't interfere in the United States elections in 2016. They most certainly did.
Okay, we've been doing this for 3 hours straight. We're going to try to be a little more normal. Jed Pleven's going to be on in about 40 minutes. We'll get his take as a lawyer. But until then, we're going to kind of do normal stuff. One last thing, though, that's a little bit related.
Oh, we got a butt Hillary.
Yeah.
And it's actually a legit one. I just saw this for the first time now. I don't know how I missed it, but apparently 6 hours ago, Hillary tweeted from her official Twitter account, and it is hers, not because of the check mark, but because it has 31 plus million followers. I think that part might be hard to fake.
Mm-hmm.
She tweeted a picture of herself with a hat photoshopped on her head, and the hat says, but her emails. And then the tweet says, bringing this back in light of recent news, get a limited edition but her emails hat and support Onward Together groups that are working to strengthen our democracy. It's a charity that, quote unquote, supports young leaders. But either way, so stupid.
Yeah. So I've had several callers try to defend Donald Trump by saying, what about Hillary? And ugh. I've said, unrelated, two wrongs don't make a right. But let me say this. It also doesn't mean that because Donald Trump is accused of these crimes that Hillary Clinton is in any way Lily White.
No.
I still don't like her. I still think she did a lot of dirty things, probably could have, maybe should have been prosecuted. How stupid. Just shut up. Why put the attention back on what you did just because someone did something seemingly worse? Am I making sense?
That and also,
if I were her, I'd go to Bora Bora.
Just shut up.
Just don't say a word.
I mean, I think you're right about that. But also, I mean, what were the first things that we talked about today as this was breaking? It's not a day to celebrate. It's not a day to laugh. It's not a day to point fingers or poke. It sucks. This should be a terrible day. And somebody that was the first lady, somebody that was the Secretary of State, somebody that's run for president should have the common decency and respect for the nation to not do that, to not tap dance on.
We would.
I mean,
how are we smarter than world leaders? We would have enough sense to go like, I'm just going to lay low. This guy's got all the heat on him. No, you know, like.
Yeah, this is not me defending Hillary because I think it's completely tacky, too. But whenever you say we would have the sense, I mean, if she's fundraising off of it, how is it a bad decision?
Because it's even grosser.
I know, but I think that's how most of these people operate is just.
Yeah, kind of, they're sick.
The mask has kind of fallen off, and it's like, no, everyone's just running everything as a business, and it's all about the bottom line. It's no longer about being classy, being the bigger person. You don't even have to pretend to do that
anymore.
You're
right. You're right.
And that's the generation of people, by the way, that bitches about Gen Z.
Is this going to make me any money or give me any small advantage? If so, it's worth it. Let's do it.
Yeah.
That's the new standard.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.